And now, coming to you nearly live from deep within a mineshaft underneath Gold Hill, Nevada in Story County, it's the Storyteller Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Toll. Thanks for joining me today on another episode of the Storyteller Podcast. This is episode 23, recording today on the equinox, one of my favorite days of the year, September 21st, where the sun and the moon, or at least daylight and nightlight, are equally distant from each other in the day that we live. Now, of course, the days are going to get shorter until December 21st, the shortest day of the year, when we'll start it all over again. The circle of life will continue to begin again. Interesting week this week. There's been a number of things going on. President Trump was in Las Vegas stumping for Dean Heller and Danny Tarkanian. It was an interesting event last night. A lot of fun stuff happening on the Hill. Of course, this weekend should have been the Ferrari Hill Climb. Sadly, we had to cancel that event for the first time in 48 years. That was a result of the VCTC, Denny Dotson, not wanting to have the folks at the Ferrari Club of America return to the Hill. For those of you who don't know, I proposed to be the promoter of the event, and we proposed to move the event from where it's been held annually, which is either the second or third weekends in September since 1970, and then moving back to October 15th, I put a request or a proposal on Pat Whitten's desk, who was ultimately the arbiter of the decision. And I think I did that in late June and didn't hear from him at the last commissioner's meeting, or I should say the last VCTC meeting on the 13th of September. I announced to the board that I was withdrawing my proposal because, well, a month is not enough time to be able to produce a winning show. Merchants are very disappointed. I know I talked to 50, maybe 60 merchants, and to a man slash woman, they were very disappointed. They were very much in favor of the event. They're pretty much in favor of every event that happens up here because the events are the high water moments of the week or the month. Visitors come to Virginia City sporadically Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, not nearly as busy as an event weekend. So any event that they can bring up here is a good event for the merchants. And to, I guess actually there was one merchant who said that the Ferrari club didn't spend any money in her shop. But the rest of the folks were very disappointed that for the first time in 48 years, the event has been shut down. You know, I won't get into exactly why there, but basically it was a decision that Denny Dotson made. He decided that for whatever reason, he was not going to allow them to be back on the Hill. I'm happy to announce that I will in fact be presenting another proposal to Denny Dotson in probably next week. I might wait until the first week of October because next week's a busy week. Got some exciting news that I can't release right now, but I will be crowing about it next week, or I should say the first week in October, about some things that are happening with the Storyteller. But until then, I can't talk much about it. So anyway, the show today is basically going to kick off my campaign. For those of you who don't know, I am running for Story County School Board. I'm running against Fire Chief Jeff Nevin, and I believe that I have some ideas that are substantially different from the ones that Jeff has. I know Jeff's a great guy. He's done a great job as the chairman of the board of the Story County School Board, and you know, his focus has been on safety. I know he's implemented some great procedures and rewritten the safety manual and has done just a fabulous job during his tenure. But I think that, you know, much like the rest of the county, I think that we're ready for a change. I think that the notion that the same five families that have kind of had their hands on the wheel for the last certainly five or six decades, that it might be time for some fresh eyes and some new blood to circulate and put their hands on the wheel. So that's really kind of one of the things that my candidacy represents. Both Commissioner Marshall McBride and Lance Gilman ran unopposed in 2016. A number of seats this year are going to be unopposed. And I just felt that I had enough solid ideas about what I think
would be a direction or a focus of attention inside the Story County school system, and then that my vision and directions and ideas were substantially different from those of Chief Nevin, and felt like I should throw my hat in the ring and at least give him a run for his money, let him earn that job if the voters choose to reelect him. So the show today is going to be yet another re-airing of the Sheriff Jerry and Friends show, where Story County Commissioner candidate Nicole Bard and yours truly, school board candidate CM Toll, were on his show talking about some of our ideas and our visions for moving Story County forward. So I'm going to play a word from our sponsor here, and then we're going to get right into the Sheriff Jerry and Friends show, which was recorded on Thursday, what was that, the 13th of September. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the end of the show. The following is a paid political advertisement. Here with Story County Commissioner candidate Nicole Bard. Nicole, November 6th is right around the corner and the campaign is ramping up. I've seen you be out and about there on social media. What have you been up to over the last couple weeks?
Well, I've had about 12 outreach events since July. I've knocked on every door in Lockwood. I've visited every home in Mark Twain and even visited the Republic of Mulasia. My heart is really warmed by the acceptance that I've received. A lot of people know me through bardblog.com and essentially tell me that, you know, they're happy that I'm doing it because that's the only way that they know what's going on in the county. Other people know me through the work that I've done with the community. A lot of the merchants and the residents in Virginia City know that I'm involved with the merchants and trying to help them build their coalition, as well as the work that I've done with the senior center. I'm very, very happy to be doing this for any number of reasons, but the most important reason is that I'm hearing directly from our residents what it is that they want, what they don't want, what they want to see changed, and how they want me to operate as a commissioner should I be elected. And so I tell them all the same thing. I say, look, I'm not promising to represent the residents of Story County. I've been doing that for the last 5 years by attending the commission meetings, and I intend to continue doing that as your commissioner for the next 4 years.
Great, thank you. The preceding ad was paid for by the campaign to elect Nicole Bard, Story County Commissioner.
Good afternoon, and you welcome to Sheriff Jerry and Friends, and I am Story County Sheriff Gerald Antonoro. If you'd like to get involved with today's show, whether you're listening on 1180 AM KCKQ, a Lotus radio signal, or online at americamatters.us and clicking on the Listen Live button, you can call in toll-free at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255, toll-free from anywhere in the world. And we're going to get to our friends in just a minute, but I wanted to comment on a few things unrelated to today's topic. Yesterday, one of our friends, D. Gregory, has been on the show. He has his own show called Crap, Lies, and Rumors. Now, he had me call in yesterday onto his show because of some crap, lies, and rumors. And I made a comment to him, or I answered his questions on that show, but in case my kind listeners had not heard that, I wanted to make sure to share that with you here. And what that is some folks have been questioning my ability as sheriff to have a broadcast during the day during the work week. So I commented on a show, but like I said, let me set the record straight here. The office of sheriff is set by state statute. There are hours in the law that said when my office must be open. However, that is not a schedule for me. That is just when the office must be open. Now, my deputies are on a set schedule, but theirs is a different position than mine. I'm the sheriff 24 hours a day. I'm available 24 hours a day. My guests, when we get to them, are both county residents. They can attest to the fact that I'm out there 24 hours a day. I get called day and night. Last week, I was out rescuing a deer from a fence at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was out helping one of my deputies search a building right after that. There's days I come in at 6 a.m. and leave at 3 p.m. There's days when I get there at 5 or 6 a.m. and I'm there till 7 or 8 p.m. So my schedule is flexible. I do not use county time or resources in the execution of this broadcast, and that's even if I am working before or after the show. I just had our dear, dear friend Eddie Floyd take a couple of pictures of me and my guests here in the studio. It clearly shows I am not in uniform. When he walks out to his car, he can see there is not a Story County patrol car in the parking lot. I drive my own personal vehicle. There is no county resources utilized in the production or execution of this programming. And Eddie just walked in, so I think he has something he wants to say.
You know, I do have something that I'd like to say, Sheriff Jerry, and that's the fact that for just a hair over 3 years, I did Inside the Sheriff's Office with Sheriff Dennis Balaam, and he faced at one point in time the same identical criticism. It only lasted one time with one person because he gave the same answer that you just gave to the listeners out there. As a matter of fact, we had the sheriff, we had the district attorney, we had the attorney general, we had the governor, and we had the lieutenant governor. They all came in every week and did a show. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're educating your people in Story County every time you get on the air, and we're proud of you, Sheriff.
Well, thank you for that, Eddie, and that is what we aim to do. That being said, and that being addressed as far as whose time it is anyway, there is never a shortage of anybody who wants to take cheap shots or try to promote some kind of a negativity or attack someone just out of personal or political animus. We see that all across the country. We see that in this particular instance. We see it in the nonsense being thrown out to attack our state candidates. No proof, no due process, nothing but hatred and the pursuit of personal gain. And it's up to the people out there, it's up to you, kind listeners, to put a stop to it. Demand better from those who would govern you. Right now, there's a couple of fellows who are running for state offices, nothing but smear campaigns. They have made accusations against me, about me, that are totally baseless. Are these the type of people that you want governing you? Are these the type of people you want in control? They don't care about facts. They don't even care about looking into any of it. They'll go on rumor, and that's where they're going to act. And, you know, that's what you got to ask yourself as we head into November. Who is representing your interests? Who is representing your rights? And, I guess that, you know, we could always throw out a couple of names and talk about the heinous things they do to small furry animals. And we don't have to have any proof because Lord knows they don't need any proof. But that's not who we are. That's not how we are. And I'm here today to tell you folks, my guess, that's not how I believe they are either. With that, I'm going to make the introductions, but then we're going to be up against the break, and we will come back and get right into our conversation with our guests. So today, we're being joined by our friend Nicole Bard. Nicole is a Story County resident and a contender for the position of Story County Commissioner. She has been on the show before, and we welcome her back today to share with us her vision for Story County should she be victorious come November 6th. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you, Jerry.
We're also joined by our friend Sam Toll. As listeners know, Sam is also known as the Storyteller. He has graced us with his presence and eloquent words in the past. Today's a little different, however. Sam is joining us today as a candidate for the Story County School Board, and we hope to get his insights and what his vision is for our children's education should he be elected come November. Welcome, Sam.
Jerry, thanks again for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
And with that, as I said, we are sneaking up on our first break already. I rambled on a little bit much, and then we had Eddie jump in there with us. But I promise, folks, stay with us. As soon as we're back from the break, we're going to get into the meat of things. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Remember, if you'd like to get involved with today's show, you can call us toll-free anywhere in the world at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. As promised, we are back with Nicole Bard, candidate for Story County Commissioner. Nicole, I'm going to turn the reins over to you. Tell us your vision for Story County, the money, the taxes, the development, you name it. Tell us what you see.
Well, that's just like launching right into it. In terms of vision, I mean, it's very simple. I mean, we are a small county. We have, you know, if we have 4,200 people, I'd be surprised, but that's about what we've got. It's like being a gigantic dysfunctional family. We've got four communities and a fifth large area, that fifth large area being TRI. We're rural. And one of the tenets of my platform here is I would like to retain as much of the rural nature of the county as we can. And by that is that we've all moved here or live here for varying reasons. And I think that the one thing that does tie us together is what it means to be rural, which for us means, you know, just leave me alone. If I need anything, I'll call you, Jerry. We don't like interference. If we have trouble, we know our neighbors are going to come help us. If my neighbor has trouble, I'm going to go help them. The horses, the wildlife, the freedom, all of those things are part of our heritage, and it's why I moved here. So first and foremost, you know, I'd like to maintain as much of that as possible. Now, having said that, if we look at where the county is from a development standpoint is slated to grow, it's going to be to the north, and it's going to be our Painted Rock area, which is, through our master plan, going to be anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 homes, which represents, I don't know, upwards of 8,000, maybe 10,000 people when it's fully built out, and who knows when that would be.
So let me jump in right there and just stop you for a second. So I've heard for years, going back, I think initially 2006, 2007, I heard about the desire to develop out there in the Painted Rock area. Mm-hmm. There had been surveys done, permits pulled, all that kind of stuff. When the economy tanked 2007, 2008, all that got washed away. Now it's being talked about again. So I know something that is incredibly important to you as a resident of Story County and the area you live in, as it is, and everybody who lives in the county outside of Virginia City, Gold Hill, who gets water from the county's water system. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is on wells. Where's the water going to come from?
That is the question that, you know, I ask. You can't sell land, per our master plan, you can't sell land without also selling water or having water to it. And so it's unclear. I've asked the question a couple of times and nobody can seem to answer it. I mean, I want to know who owns it and who is going to be the developer. So once I know, or we know, who that developer is, then we can start asking, you know, directly those questions. Water is a huge issue here, which is, and I'll hopefully be able to get to this later, which is why the pipeline that is currently being touted between Reno Sparks and TRI is an issue. It helps TRI in that those companies that are out there, at least the six that are lobbying for it, need additional water to what they already have. They've got water.
And for the edification of our listeners, that is not potable water. That is
effluent.
That is just water to make things wet. You can't drink it.
Correct.
So, Carry on. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. So back to your question. I mean, even at TRI, where they purchased that land, they have water for what they needed, but they still need more, even though it's effluent. The same question is going to be asked on Painted Rock. Where are they going to get do they have enough water to sustain that, and where are they going to get it?
Well, so, and if memory serves me correctly, one of the developments that had been trying to be pushed at during the course of time, the Corda Vista project, that was one of the big stumbling blocks that caused that to die, was the water issue.
Correct. So, back to, my vision. So one is, we've got to balance the needs of each of our communities, and one of our communities is going to be in Painted Rock. It's going to be, very much Somerset-like in terms of the way it's set out, which is very different than the rest of our communities. So number one for me is maintaining that. The second thing is, TRI, the industrial park, has been out there for quite a few number of years, but the big players in TRI, your Tesla, Switch, blockchains most recently, are new to TRI and new to Story County. So part of my vision really is to establish a warm partnership with those companies, with our communities. Having been in a corporation for 20 years, when we moved into to a community, it was typically our people worked in the community in which the plant was located, so it was much easier. But when you bring your folks in, especially from other states, and when you hire folks in the states that you're in, you want to be a good citizen, and you want to involve the corporation in as many of the community activities and causes, as is possible. It's goodwill. It's called goodwill. And so I would like to meet with those large companies and make sure that they are aware that we are very welcoming in our community. The unfortunate part for us is that their employees, by and large, do not live in Story County. Their employees live in Sparks and Reno, Fallon, and other places. And so the company, rightly so, is involving themselves with the communities in which their employees live. I would like to see the county, and this is certainly what I would do in terms of reaching out, is to work with them in understanding the richness of our communities through our nonprofits, our communities, in particular in Virginia City, that is responsible for maintaining and enhancing the historic venues that we have up there. So that would be a second thing. Third thing is, I don't believe that government should be in the business of delivering too many services. I'm a smallish government person. And so I would like to see Story County continue to work with our community chest organization, which you had on last week, and I cannot praise them enough. They do fantastic work. And so we're not a rich county, and so I would want to increase their reach in terms of what they do with seniors and in terms of what they do with children. And then last but not least, I've been blogging, I guess they call it, but I've been going to commission meetings for the last 5 to 6 years. And 3 years ago, I started bardblog.com, where I report on what's going on in those commission meetings. And over time, every time I go out, people are thanking me for putting that information out. So people are hungry for information. So part of what I would do is to really enhance both the frequency and the type and the detail of information out to our residents in terms of what's going on. And also, I would like to have more participation by our residents in some of the decisions that are facing us as a commission. And again, a recent example for me is this pipeline deal, which I hope I can talk about later, by involving them in providing input to the commission on what their wishes are regarding how their money is used.
And that has been a criticism in the past of not only the current commission but past commissions about seeming to not really embracing public input. So I for one would welcome that, and that's part of the reason behind this radio program, is to help try and get the word out there, to try and stimulate people getting involved.
One of the things, I'm 20 years in corporate America, Intel Corporation in particular. And Intel, then and now, believes in making sure their employees understand what's going on. Because you want a productive workforce. You want an informed workforce. You don't want them wondering what's going on and not
focusing on what they need to do. And so we did quarterly business updates with every employee. I'm talking not just management or white collar, but including our line workers, our manufacturing folks, on what's happening with the business. There may or may not be a layoff. We may or may not be shutting the plant down. We may or may not be moving here. Here's, you know, where our product is going. And so I've been trained. My training in those 20 years is you tend to over-communicate so that people know, and then they become involved in helping you figure out solutions. So I don't know how else to do any job, any management job that I've had, except to basically do that.
Well, and that would be, I think, very well received by the community. Problem is, and this is something we touched on, because I'm not meaning to throw mud at the current commission or any of the past, anything like that. Just saying what it appears to me, what it appears to many of the people in the county that I speak to. But we touched on that in our last episode when we were talking about services that are available in Story County. There's times when you can throw stuff out there all day long and people, unless it directly has an impact on them, they just don't care. They don't want to get involved. They don't have the time. They don't have the patience. And we're up against a break again, but maybe when we come back, we're going to have Sam come on with us since he's running for school board. Maybe there's an answer there, because I just don't know if the schools are doing due diligence in educating our youth of the importance of government and government involvement. That may be a big key as our state and our country move forward. But we'll hear from Sam when we come back from the break. And the last segment, like I said, it'll be a free-for-all. Everybody can jump out there, so you'll get a chance to talk some more. Nicole, thank you. Folks, you're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. If you'd like to get involved with today's show, you can give us a call toll-free anywhere in the world at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. We're back in this segment with Sam Toll, a.k.a. the Storyteller. However, today he's not here to tell us stories. He's here to tell us his vision. Sam would like to be on the school board for Story County School District. Sam, again, welcome. Tell us what you see.
Well, Jerry, again, thanks for having me. First off, I just, you know, I've had a number of opportunities to talk with Todd Hess, who is the Story County School District Superintendent. The purpose of the school board itself is to manage the sole employee of theirs, or the person who they direct, which is, in fact, Mr. Hess. And I have to say that I've been just remarkably impressed with the way that he's conducted his job. He, you know, had a professional career in the Story County School District as a principal, and before he was named the superintendent, and I think he's doing a great job. And you know, the board themselves, they are focused on running the ship. You know, they're Mr. Nevin, my opponent, has done a great job of developing a safety and security program. I know that they're working on a single point of entry for the schools to make sure that folks who come in onto the campus are identified and monitored, and that the folks aren't just sneaking in through the back or wanting to, you know, cause mayhem, as the case may be. But one of the things that I have, there's a number of platform planks that I'm focusing on. My kids went through the school system in California, and my son took both trigonometry and calculus, but he emerged from high school not being able to balance a checkbook, and he didn't understand what credit cards, how they worked, how they can be, you know, tools, but they can be very dangerous. No idea about compound interest. In essence, he came out of school, and so did my other daughters, financially illiterate on many cases. And the argument could be made that, you know, that's my job and not the school's, but frankly, you know, I ran a business. I had 75 employees, and I didn't really use much in the way of trigonometry. Used a little bit of algebra, but most of what I used mathematically was common sense and stuff that you know, required financial savvy. And so, if the kids are going to spend 15,000 hours in their school career, coming out of high school with life skills that they can take with them that will benefit them throughout their life, in addition to calculus or trigonometry, I think is essential. One of the other planks that I feel very strongly about is vocational training and the college Head Start or the Jump Start program that is very successful in Story County today. My kids, again in Placer County, went through this a similar program that Story County has, where they're able to, as juniors and seniors, take college classes at the community college from college professors, preparing them for a college career should that be the direction they want to go. I was able to save, I think, like 4 or 5 wheelbarrows full of money, because all of my kids graduated with about 1.5 years worth of college credits under their belt as seniors from high school. So they were able to save a tremendous amount of money and time on their college careers. But it's important to recognize that college isn't for everyone. And in fact, I would suggest that in today's world, given some of the ridiculous degrees that you can get, you know, I mean, 16th century Irish literature is a great, perhaps a great degree to get, but it's not going to help you pay off your $100,000 student loan. And I think that if the kids are going to go and spend and invest the kind of money, or their parents are going to invest the money that they are going to have to in today's world, that they'd better get their money's worth from those degrees. On the other side, there's tons of opportunity in the vocational world of, you know, plumbing and construction and welding and auto repair and, you know, working on people's hair and doing all kinds of other things that don't require a college degree, that frankly pay great wages and allow kids opportunities to get their financial career started immediately, that will do them, you know, that I think we need to help more. I took wood class in high school in Carson City. I took welding. I worked on cars. And those classes are, you know, they're pretty much done. So vocational training and the Jump Start program are very important to me.
Well, let me jump in there and ask you a couple of questions, just because they're concerns of mine. I mean, I have a daughter in the Story County school system. My stepdaughter is there. She's got a few more years to go. So, of course, I have some concerns and interests in the school district and how things are ran. So, Pottygate. Tell me your position on Pottygate. My understanding is that any new schools or any major renovations to existing schools, that you are required to build co-ed bathrooms, locker rooms, individual stalls for privacy purposes, but the bathrooms itself are co-ed, all because of this whole gender identity crisis that the world is now going through.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I engaged in this conversation with my kids over the last week and a half, because as you and I spoke last time, we're very concerned that, you know, that as a society, we're now going to suddenly pivot and move the, you know, the scope or the nature of things in that direction. And my kids are all, oh, come on, Dad. You know, seriously, in Europe, you know, this whole sexuality thing is completely different. And, you know,
I've been to Europe a couple of times, and they still have male and female restrooms. I have never seen a co-ed restroom, at least in my travels.
Yeah, I've never been to Europe, but I've certainly traveled in Asia and Latin America. And yeah, I mean, my experience is exactly the same. I am, you know, a little more conservative than my kids, and I'm a little more, I guess, traditional. I think that, you know, boys and girls, especially as adolescents and as youngsters growing up, I think that there is... is it important for separation to exist? I think that, you know, I remember when I was a budding juvenile, I was a knucklehead and I was a troublemaker, and I didn't necessarily, try to follow along to the rules that existed to begin with. And so to add that element of mixing them together, as you know, their hormones are racing through their bodies, as you know, from high, in the high school years, for sure, I think is I don't know, irresponsible. And so for me personally, I'm not a fan, and I would oppose such construction issues should they come up in any new schools that we built.
Well, let me ask you that, though, since we're on the subject of new schools. You heard what Nicole had to say. I know you watch the commission meetings and everything, too. You see the growth and development that the county is poised to have. So we build another community. I mean, Painted Rock right now has a dozen or so homes out there. We're going to build 1,000, 2,000, whatever, homes out there. What is that going to do to our school district, and how are we going to fund that?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. In terms of what it's going to do to our county and our school district, obviously it's going to pivot us. There will be more people living out there than live in the rest of the county. And so the tail will start to wag the dog, I think, in pretty short order. Clearly, you know, there will have to be plans in how the school systems develop and morph. I'd like to point out that in the last 2 years, Story County's school districts have forfeited, I'm going to say it's $38 million and $36 million. So what's that work out to be? About $76 million in sales taxes that would have come to our county had the abatements for Tesla and Switch not existed. Now, those were passed by the state. We're simply unwilling or unwitting victims of that tax abatement. But those monies would have gone very well to serve our kids. In fact, you know, I don't know that the school system could have spent $78 million.
Well, let me jump on that real
sure,
quickly.
Please.
Because with this whole special tax district, there's discussion about how at some point there's going to be $20 million or something dumped into the school district. But yet, not too long ago, it came to light, or at least maybe it was just to my eyes, that is not $20 million to Story County School District. That is $20 million to be divided amongst all of the state school districts. And if it's like anything else, it's going to be proportioned based on size. So, ergo, of that $20 million that's been promised in the clouds, you know, we're going to get $1.59.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that not only is that what you're referring to is accurate, you know, certainly Clark County, the biggest school district in the planet, or at least in our planet, in the United States, will receive the lion's share of that. Now, Tesla's part of the SB1 agreement had to earmark $37 million for the schools in Nevada. They just dispersed the first $1.5 million of that money recently. I think it was in July. And while Clark County got $50,000, and while Washoe County got $50,000, and a number of grants were given to blankets, programs that benefits all schools, Story County got exactly zero.
I hate to cut you off
please.
But we are heading into a break. When we come back, we're going to let Sam and Nicole both jump in there, slug it out over what they see as important. Whoever talks the fastest talks the loudest,
uh-oh,
gets to say the most. And all I'm going to do is sit here and referee and make sure that not too many big items get thrown back and forth. They're not running against each other, but they both want to get their message out there. And that is why they're here today. Folks, remember, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. Toll-free anywhere in the world at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. We will be right back for our last segment after this short break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are in our last segment of Sheriff Jerry and Friends. If you'd like to participate in today's show, give us a call toll-free anywhere in the world, 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. Sam, I had to cut you off going into that last break. I know you have a couple more things you want to get out there. Throw it out there.
Yeah, so real quickly, I do talk fast, but I wasn't talking fast enough. So the last thing that I think is important for kids today is for them to become more involved with both understanding and participating in in the government. I do a lot of outreach back in Placer County. I drive back down and address high schools. I think I've talked to 1,000 kids this year about political parties. And I think that what I would do is mimic what Placer County is doing, or try and integrate into our schools, where the public, where the political parties can come in with an elected official and talk to the high school kids about what an elected official does, how elections happen, what the platforms of the three parties are, and yes, there are three. and then you know, take questions from the kids so that they get a feel for what the political party platforms mean and how they affect them, and then let the kids register to vote, and then increase the engagement and the involvement of our youth in the political system. I think it's very important.
Well, and you and I have talked about this in the past. We've talked about it here on the show in the past. I agree wholeheartedly with that, that people have to be involved in their government if they want to actually be represented. They have to know what they're being represented on. And Nicole, I know you've got more you want to say, and it pretty much is right along these same lines. Battles being fought, people have to know what they're getting themselves into when they elect people. They have to know what those representatives are doing on their behalf. And I know there's an issue near and dear to you. Jump in there and tell us about it.
Well, it's, you know, I mentioned it before, it's the effluent pipeline that has, in the last several days, gotten some pretty broad press coverage. And that effluent pipeline is the bringing of effluent water, which is, it's water out of Reno and Sparks that's gone through the first level of cleaning, if you will. It's not good enough to drink, but it's good enough to water your plants, and in this case, good enough to be used for manufacturing purposes. As I mentioned before, you can't sell land without having water, so TRI has water. These particular six companies, which are Tesla, Switch, Blockchains, Google, Reno Land, and
Emerald City.
Emerald City.
So let me derail you for just a moment. I just heard today, before the show started, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who made the comment that they don't know how that water can be sold to Trick if the pipeline is built, because the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe has first dibs on all the water that goes into the Truckee River, which is where the effluent water is now going. So how do we cut out the Paiutes from that 4,000 acre feet, 5,000, whatever it is?
I don't know that they're cutting the Paiute out. I know that the Paiute, as of last year when I first became aware of this issue, were in conversations with the Watermaster and Tumwa and all of the participants at that point. One of the good things about this pipeline, one of the many good things about this pipeline, is that it keeps the effluent out of the Truckee, which from an environmental standpoint decreases the number of nitrites that go into the water. So that's a good thing environmentally. But that's not the issue. My issue is, while I support the pipeline because it both is good environmentally in terms of keeping nitrates out of the river, which the Paiute, you know, support, but it also provides the six companies that I mentioned with additional water for additional development and additional growth. All of that is wonderful, and I support that. What I don't support is that those companies, in addition to half of them, or three of them that we know of, having abatements and incentives on property taxes, sales taxes, fees, and other things, in addition to what public monies were given to them, they're asking for Story County to pay for that pipeline. And that's just unacceptable. I mean, how much more do they want? I've read four news articles in the last 4 days. Two of them correctly report all moving parts of this deal. Two of them failed to talk about the back end part. The way it's being proposed or shown is that the companies are paying for this pipeline themselves, and that's not true.
No, my understanding from being in the county commission meeting is that at somewhere on the back point there is a reimbursement program.
Correct.
So where if the storyteller industries sets up shop out there, while it appears they're paying for it up front, on the backside, I'm going to be cutting a check to the storyteller industries to reimburse them for what they paid.
Yeah, here are the four moving parts. They're asking the county to float a $35 million bond, which after tax, after interest, will be about $61 million over 20 years. So that's fact number one. Fact number two is they will establish a special assessment district on the land area where these six companies currently reside, where those companies will be assessed the payments for that bond that the county will take out. So they're giving the county the money for the county to pay back the state who will be buying the bond.
And that's roughly $3 million a year.
That's right, with the interest. That's what gets reported broadly at the quote, companies are paying their own pipeline. But the part that isn't reported is the back end, which is the establishment of what's called a tax increment area on the same land mass with the same six companies, which then reimburses those companies for the payment they've just made to the county for the bond. And my position is I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a residence first person. I came out of corporate America. I understand, nobody's stupid. We understand you need incentives and abatements. So, okay, fine. Well, you know, I can support that in principle. That's what we need to do to compete with other states to bring companies in here to create jobs and so forth. I'm not stupid. Nobody is. But in the giving of those abatements and incentives, I will draw a line. And what these companies are asking for from us as a county, as well as the state public funds, because the state will also be kicking money in here, is they're getting reimbursed through their own taxes for making a payment. It would be like me drilling my well and spending $20,000, then going to the county and saying, okay, I want you to rebate me $20,000 of my property taxes to cover the cost of my well. And gee, if the citizens could get that kind of a deal, I'd say, cool, let's go do that. But the citizens don't get that. Additionally, none of our small businesses on C Street get any help in their business. And if the big companies can get it, but the small companies can't, again, no, it just doesn't make sense to me.
And that is something that we have talked about in the past when we've had folks on talking about the C Street businesses and stuff. Unfortunately, Sam, I know you have something that you want to say. Can you say it in 10 seconds?
I can, Jerry. It addresses your water issue, and that is that TRI had to give 1,800 acre feet of water back to the river, and then NDOT and the state of Nevada are taking paper water rights to the tune of 2,200 acre feet and giving them to TRI to give to the river to reimburse them for the 4,000 acre feet that's coming out to the park.
All right. Well, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of yet another broadcast. Before we go, I want to mention our sponsors, the Silver Stope in Virginia City, where you can get all your motorcycle leathers and fine jewelry. The Virginia Hills Mercantile, where you can take care of all your fashion and accessory needs. And let's not forget the Canvas Cafe, where they always have something good that is cooking. Now, next week, in an abundance of being fair, next week, Nicole's competitor will be on with us giving his vision for Story County, and we may or may not have other guests along with him. That remains to be seen, but at least as of right now, we have Mr. Carmona coming on to give his perspective. Definitely want to thank Nicole and Sam for being here with us today. It's always great. Both of you, jump on real quick. Is there a place folks can go to get more information about your campaigns?
I have a campaign website called bardcampaign.com, B as in boy, A-R-D as in David, E, campaign.com.
Sam?
You just jump onto the Storyteller, and you can check out what I'm up to at thestoryteller.online. And that's story with an E, S-T-O-R-E-Y, story for Story County.
Excellent. Coming up this weekend on the Comstock is the 100-mile endurance ride. These are some dedicated men and women who will commence a 100-mile ride on horseback starting at 5 a.m. in Virginia City. Now, I understand they make three loops around the mountain range that comprises the Comstock, that it's 100 miles straight through on a horse's back. Talk about a sore backside. After that, and I would do this as the announcer, but I'm sure I don't have the voice for it, but let's get ready to rumble with Street Vibrations coming to the Comstock on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of this month. Folks, there is always something of interest and fun to be had in Virginia City. Sam, you look like you had something to say.
Well, I was just going to say, half of me is delighted and half of me is bummed that I'll be in Vegas that weekend.
Now, it's a great event. I love Street Vibrations. It's a good group that comes up there. And from what I hear, pretty much across the board, the businesses do enjoy that when they do make some
money.
They
love it, yeah.
So I look forward to seeing a bunch of friends that we've made over the years. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, again, I thank our guests for being with us today.
Thank you,
Craig, our magician in the other room that makes it all happen.